Hello there and welcome to the A to D talk show, where we talk about controversial issues and deliberate on them. We believe that the world is like a coin and it is best to see both sides of it. So come on, join us as we agree to disagree.
So good day everyone. I know it has been close to a month or two that we have gotten back to you with our conversations, but we're here at least. I hope you all are doing well. I hope you're having a good week. Today we're going to be talking about something that everyone is aware of. And we're going to be talking about cancel culture. We're going to be talking about it from a perspective where it stands against free speech and intellectual discourse. And the person who's going to talk to me about this, the person I'm going to talk to about this is Lois. And we are specifically trying to establish a fact that the fragility of the freedom of speech and how it shouldn't be touched at all. And why what is happening right now with the cancel culture is so bad that it directly affects the core meaning of liberty. So thank you, Lewis, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. So, Lewis, when was your first experience or eye opener to this cancel culture thing?
So I won't really say I can pinpoint like my first experience.
Yeah.
But what I can give is like we have seen a series of happenings on the internet where so the first time I actually really noticed, okay, you know what, this thing has to be we need to slow down on stuff like this is when we had to start. Even if you believed something, as far as you saw a large following against your belief, you had to keep quiet so that you do not get canceled here. Because what happens is that when they cancel you, they don't just shush you. Yeah, they go for everything
relating
to your life. They go for your job. They go for your family. They go for your source of income. Yeah. And we've seen... to me, I saw it as a form of bully mentality, yeah, mm-hmm. where people are being silenced. Like to my friends around, and this is what I say. I said, like, I actually I will fight for anybody's right to be racist towards me, to be to say anything they want towards me, yeah. But also reserve the right to call them douchebags after whatever they have said. Yeah, but the major issue is me fighting for their rights to be able to say it towards me, so that we can have a discourse. Because to be honest, if someone is racist and the person is silent, the person continues being racist. Yeah, or if the person comes out to you and you have a discourse with the person and the person sees why he's being racist, yeah, then he has a change of opinions. And another form used as it political tool, social tool as well. We saw what happened to Kevin Hart. He made statements regarding the gay community long ago. Yeah. And then years later, they dug these things out, old tweets, decades later from what he has said. And he said he's a changed man, but they were still trying to cancel him. So with the cancel culture, the question I usually throw is, are they saying a man can't change over the years or, stuff like that?
So you see both, but for me, one of the eye openers that I had towards this, I didn't know there was a culture behind it. I just thought it was just a way of the media to of companies to preserve their PR. right? Their public relations. So they just tell you, you know what, we don't want to have anything to do with you because of public relation damages and all. But again, it progressed to a point where it's as if this company were under pressure themselves by external forces to do this. So it is different when you disobey or you go against companies' policies. That's different, right? But when they go against, when these people go against your company to get you out, then it's different. So my greatest eye opening was first, I think it was Ted Cruz, Terry Crews, Terry Crews and this lady from Gina is it Corona they call her? The lady that works with is it the Marvel or one of these film industry. And so what she basically came out to say, she came out to say, oh, see, there is a similarity between what's happening now when it comes to political polarization and social bigotry. There's a similarity between what's happening and what happened in the Nazi Socialist Party. And she said in a kind of way that made the Democrats or the liberals, the Nazis, and the Republicans or conservatives, the Jews. And next thing they said, Gina Corona was trending on Twitter, and in less than 48 hours or so, she was canceled. Now, my issue with this cancel culture thing is this. There is no leader of this culture. That's one. Two, this is just Twitter. I believe it is just a Twitter community thing that doesn't replicate reality. So what I'm saying is people are more vicious on Twitter than they are real life. And it is one of the things that made me step away from Twitter because of this and the ability for Twitter to bring out one of the most malevolent attitudes in human beings, where you are a nice and maybe an affable person, but your tweet shows, or the way the tweet Twitter's algorithm works, or the way the mob mentality works, you become a vicious person. Now, my next question is this: when you talk about intellectual discourse, we need to now go into another dimension, which we have already talked about on this show, about hate speech and speech that you hate. Now, before I give you an opportunity to answer this question, I want people that are listening to me to be able to understand that hate speech itself is not definitive. There's a relative aspect of hate speech, but there is a big difference between hate speech and speech that you hate. So I'll give an example. When someone tells you that you have a particular health issue, right? Now, that he may say it in such a way that it's harmful and you hate it. But again, he may be saying it in such a way that it should help you. So let me give an example. If you walk into a doctor's office or you have some kind of medical issue, and someone tells you, "Oh, you have this medical issue. You need to fix. These are the things you need to do to fix this issue." Someone may come out and say, "Oh, you're being hateful, or this is hate speech." But from your own perspective, you're being, "No, I'm just telling you what I feel is good and best." So my question is, how do you reconcile intellectual discourse with this attitude of hate speech?
Okay, so when we talk about like freedom of speech here and hate speech, now when we are really talking about freedom of speech, which I believe is the fundamental human right, the ability to say whatever you want to say at any time, any point in time, my hesitation with hate speech or redefining hate speech is that there is a thin line between freedom of speech and censoring speech when it comes to hate. So, for instance, there are some things that you can maybe clearly define as hate, but can you ban people from saying it? My answer would be you shouldn't ban anyone from saying it. So, when we are talking about intellectual discourse here and something called an Overton's window. I don't know if you've heard of it. So an Overton's window is used to actually gauge what is intellectually discussable. So in that window, if anything is out of the window, yeah, it is considered to be less intellectual and more opinionated. So when it comes to hate speech, yeah, it is difficult to define because it is speech. Yeah, and you can say something to me if you tell me something that attacks me, I can assume you. I mean, when it comes to speech, people define or interpret things really differently. I mean, you have friends, so you can you might have had this discussion where you run into an argument and someone will say, okay, you said this to me, I'm not conflict with him. Like, oh, I didn't mean it. With hate speech, it's difficult to define because there are so many variables. We cannot actually pinpoint this is hate speech, even though you can actually see stuff and click, okay, you know what, maybe this is hate speech. When someone starts talking about murder them, or when someone starts saying direct stuff, then you can classify as hate speech.
Yes, but you see, one thing that I try to avoid most times is, and this is a foundational reason for why A to D exists.
Yeah.
People at any time and in any location have their ideologies. And people's ideologies, there's going to be a contradiction between people's ideologies. There's going to be a contradiction between people's belief system.
Yeah.
Right? There are going to be similarities between people's belief system. Now I'm making this point because I want to give a more realistic scenario. Now Christians believe that marriage is meant for a man and a woman. Now, in the Bible, which is the holy book of Christianity, it is unequivocally stated that homosexuality is a sin. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other people in other religions like Judaism and I think Islam too that are saying the same thing. Now, if I come out and this becomes, because Son is a Christian and this becomes his ideology, this becomes what he holds on to, because again, it's religion. Mm-hmm. How can you attribute such person to being a homophobe or to being a transphobe or to being something that he's not? Now, why I'm saying this is this. We need to come to an agreement first, that we all as human beings are not the same. And we all will never be the same. And finally, we are products of our environment, which is either socially, politically, and culturally, and whatever the case it is. Now, what I have seen with the cancel culture today is these people are beginning to define things in such a way that there is no logical approach. So there are so many examples that I want to give, but I'm trying to make sure that I keep this as high level as possible, right? But when you talk about Amazon did something on they changed their app logo one time, and I think people started saying the app logo looked like Hitler's face or something like that, and they had to quickly change it and all. I'm like, I didn't even notice because I have an Amazon. I'm like, okay. I mean, okay. Now, fair enough, right? That's good. I mean, it affects the company's PR or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, how do we now have intellectual? Because there are things people would never agree to. I'm sorry, you cannot speak to a Christian about homosexuality to a point that he believes that it is right. Now, he may accept it in a societal system, but to make him believe that, okay, homosexuality or transgenderism is a right thing is a natural process, or is something that happens at birth. It is absurd to that person. So yes, you may tell the person not to speak about it, but in the person's mind and the person's head and what controls such people, he's going to be like, nah, that doesn't make sense. That's untrue. So intellectual discourse again. Yeah. So what's your take on it?
So for intellectual discourse to happen, it means there must be a level playing field, yeah, without heckling and without anything for people to actually achieve. So the purpose of intellectual discourse is actually for individuals to actually rub minds together, and for me, based on my own background system, to be able to learn from you and then pass across valid information. And so the issue with the cancel culture is, for instance, Plato said something. He said people don't really do bad things here. They act the way they do based on information they have. Mm-hmm. So when we come into the information age, you see that there's a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of disinformation here. Yeah? So it means if I can get, if I can misinform a large percentage of the mob or the crowd on mm-hmm. the internet to believe something, yeah, mm-hmm. it means I can actually influence them to drown the truth mm-hmm. from someone else from speaking up. So now we can see that based on this issue, it depends on how much base I have, or how many people I have under my base setting,
like followers, yeah, right?
For me to actually argue with you. So it means if I say something and I have a lot of followers, and maybe I have like let's say, and I have 200 followers here. If you're right and I'm wrong, I might be able to drown you. Because what we are seeing is not a mob mentality, it's a bandwagon mentality. It means that if I say something and it applies to before I say this, let me just give the background. So there's something going on now that is called the tribe. So tribalism is not based on actual tribes, yeah, that you're born in. It's based on ideas and beliefs. So it means that I can be in a tribe tough, yeah. And what happens is that I'm thinking along with like-minded people. It means if I should throw a logical discourse that applies to the same set of like-minded people around me, yeah, they are bound to carry it without doing any research or anything, because yeah, it just appeals to them logically, because they're in the same bandwagon as I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then another bandwagon does the same. So it means that if I throw something that is logically applies to my bandwagon, and my bandwagon is way bigger than yours, we can actually drown you and mob you till you succumb. The issue with that is, number one, you're able to drown me. I can't get my point of logic out. If I said something, remotely very controversial, yeah, no one wants to hear why I said it or what my thought process was. What everybody says is, okay, you know you're wrong, you have to be canceled, you have to lose your job, you have to become worthless, you have to be out of the entire system, which is terrible, which is more or less like us going to the Stone Age, where mm-hmm. someone said something, you killed the person, did something all of you didn't believe in, or that was absurd to all of you, you killed the person and you dumped the person. And we've seen the mob mentality. I would use the Bible as an example, where Jesus said, let's cast the, he's without sin, should cast the first stone, yeah? That was the whole mob mentality, and we can actually apply that scenario to what you're seeing on the internet now. So the issue is that the people on the internet will confuse discourse with punishment. If you don't believe a certain thing, then you should not be on the internet. You are probably fascist and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But what we fail to realize is that when we actually drown someone else from airing their views.
We are the fascists, exactly. They are the ones being the fascists.
Yeah, you're being fascist instead, not the other person. Because you actually need to communicate for people to have a discourse, you actually need to communicate. And what people also fail to realize is that the world is becoming a global village, yeah, where you have people from really alternate based belief systems coming to live together. And if you do not discuss, you will not eliminate the bad blood or the bad stuff that people do. Yeah, it just keeps, it becomes really toxic, where we cannot handle ourselves, and where the larger mob eats the smaller people.
Yeah, but you see, one thing that I also feel that I think this is more psychological than sociological. People expect, so like we have established that there is no leader of this mob. So people expect the mob to act in a particular way. So them themselves begin to act in a particular way that points in that direction. So to give you an example that happened recent times. Now, you may not know him. Tim Scott, a Republican senator, he's a black guy, came out after Joe Biden's first joint Congress meeting, and it came out, and basically his central message was, America is not a racist country. Now, people who are so concerned, in quote, about racism, who are saying so many things, who have BLM on their Twitter bio, and these people really, really in what they do want end racism, come out and start calling Tim Scott an Uncle Tim, which is the same, which is a degrading statement of black people who are either conservatives or black, or the history of Uncle Tom basically is someone who is very, what I call it, who likes the white man. There is a kind of very disdainful meaning behind it. And I'm like, you can't.
Tom is a racist. Was the racist era happening?
It happens in the racist. So for people who are listening, Uncle Tom is basically, so the idea of Uncle Tom is a black guy who snitches on his own people to gain honor and favors from a white man. So that's the idea behind the word Uncle Tom. And they start calling this guy Uncle Tom, Uncle Tim, which basically means or which signals the fact that they want to call him an Uncle Tom. And I'm like, okay, why is this even trending? Why are the people who, in quote, want to end racism coming out to call this guy an Uncle Tom? And it shows you the extent to which people are able to accept the worst kinds of scenarios or the worst kinds of mob mentality to prove a point. Now, the reason I'm saying this is I'm going to a point. I'm trying to establish a fact where people are no longer separated by color. People are not separated by ideas. And people are no longer given privileges based on character, but are given privileges based on the way they think. And this is so absurd that you see people who basically know nothing about a particular group, about a particular policy, or about a particular group of people, make so much comment about these people just to ensure, just to get a kind of love, a kind of affable feelings. So again, you're wondering, do people truly love, like the point I'm trying to make is this. If you force me to come out and say, okay, Black Lives Matter, whatever, I am, you know, show a bit of solidarity towards the Black Lives Matter movement. Now on Twitter, I'll get the praise. Now I can go home and say, man, I don't even care about these people. And at the back end, do whatever I want to do. So you are not even solving the problem. So they're fighting hate with hate, and they're wondering why the hate is more intense. Now, to a final question I would just want to ask. Now, you spoke about freedom of speech, and you spoke about drowning people. And you spoke about
you
spoke about how someone with a large followers in a particular group can influence every other person in that group, even if what he's trying to influence is illogical. Now my question is this.
Yeah.
How do we as individuals become maverick in our thinking? Which means that even if you support Beyonce, or even if you are a big fan of any celebrity, you're able to say, this idea she's coming up with is wrong, is false. I choose to stand on what I believe is true, or what is actually true based on fact. So how do we get to this point of establishing maverick attitudes? Because that's the only way we can actually have intellectual discourse.
To your question, it's actually one of the most difficult thought processes, because the world has gotten into a stage, like a fast stage, where we can see where something happens, people jump on the train and make someone else fall, and then you discover it's false and everyone starts apologizing. So it's a very, very fast-paced system. I think the only way to actually do this is to actually point out to people when they've joined the bandwagon. Another way is actually to have more of discourses here. Be the bigger man. It's, for instance, if you're probably going to have or every conversation on the internet, to say anything, you don't need to comment on every post, on every trend. People don't need to, and that's what people don't understand. You don't need to comment. I used to there was something I took on recently where I shielded my followers from tweets I think is stupid. So for instance, someone tweets something I feel does not make sense. Instead of me engaging the person, I just let the person be, because I'm shielding my own followers from seeing the nonsensical tweets that this person is tweeting. Because once I engage with this person, it means I'm giving the person a wider audience to interact with and deal with. Mm. So instead I just like, okay, you know what? If it's too much, I block the person off. There are some tweets I've seen from individuals, I just block the individual as well, because I feel you shouldn't be thinking like that. Yeah. So instead of me, because I mean, I have no problem having a discourse with those people, but I just feel maybe the tweet didn't just make enough sense for me to engage.
Or it's just propaganda.
And didn't make enough sense, exactly. Or didn't even make enough sense for my followers to even deal with that kind of tweet. So I just personally ignore, and I tell people every time, there are some tweets you just ignore. Just don't give the person enough room. Or make the person trend. If you don't tweet the tweet, the guy is tweeting to himself. Let him carry on.
But that. some people again online are just so concerned about attention that they are willing to tweet anything to get whatever attention they want to get. But so in case maybe you didn't know. My Zoom actually knocked me off because of, I don't know, my internet was quite bad. But I wasn't able to get most of the things you said last part, but fine, we'll just proceed, I believe. Okay. But just to wrap it up, now, I'm going to the people that are listening, right? There are so many, we live in an information overloaded system. And there are so many things you can find out for yourself. There are so many things that I was having a discourse with someone, and he was in my office. He was like, how do you know so much? I'm like, see, in the 1980s and possibly in the 20th century, people had to go to the library. People had to be in queue to get articles. People have to do so much to protect information that we have today. And we have this on our fingertips. Do your research. Do your research. Do what you have to do. Go through whatever process, whatever paradigm shift or deprogramming, whatever it is, do your reading. Just, and sometimes all you need to do is to read an article for you to get a holistic view of what is of what the subject matter is. Mm-hmm. But we live in a world where things have been dictated to us. Things are just being dictated to us. If a particular celebrity is not talking about something, or is not in a particular doesn't have a particular line of thought, then we believe it's absurd. And this is really, really, and this is why I keep telling young people, and this is the reason why we have it today. Do your own research. If you do your own research, if you go ahead to find information for yourself, and I go ahead to find information for myself, mm-hmm. and everybody goes ahead to find information for themselves, what we will all find out is that we are not so different from each other. We will come back having the same, mm-hmm. almost the same thought process. So it there is the biggest problem I see happening in the social system, especially in America, is the conservatives believe they have something, they are trying to save the world. The liberals think they're trying to save the world. Everybody thinks they're trying to save the world, and at the end of the day, nobody's saving the world. So you see, I want to call it a simulation, but we're just in a situation where
in a loop,
do you get people are just trying. Yeah, go
what
on.
What I've even noticed is what I've noticed is that now people, like, if you come to me with the to discuss here, what happens is that I actually listen, and I listen to your views. I interpret your views. Yeah, I put myself in your shoes. Okay, why does this person think like this? Why is he thinking like this? And I look at the logic behind your thinking. Yeah, but what we see happen today is people don't. We're in a very short attention span world where people will not listen to you fully. With and in between your statements, they have probably derived an opinion about you, and they shut you out immediately. Now, I would say the media has also influenced this culture. Yeah, how they did this is very easy with their titles. When they decide to pick certain phrases or certain snippets from or certain sound bites, instead of giving people a holistic view of the entire interview. Or the entire statement, they just give a soundbite that will make it trend. Now, I've seen soundbites that were really ridiculous, and I'm like, how would this person say this thing or do this thing? I would have run with that. But when I opened the article and I read it, I would discover, okay, this person didn't really mean what is on the title of this article. He meant this. And that's what we are seeing here. Yeah? Where these media houses, they pick the sound bites and they pick the short phrases and they run with it. And because everyone has a short attention span, they won't read the entire article. They won't listen to the entire.
It's just like the headline.
They just pick it up and run with it. And that's what has become detrimental to social discourse, intellectual discourse.
They invest so much in the headlines. And
exactly.
And another thing that I've also just add to the things you said about attention span. Yeah. A lot of people do not even listen to understand. They listen to reply.
Definitely.
They just listen to respond. And to be honest with you, I was in this category before, until I'm like, you know what? Really listen to these people. Listen to them. Allow them to speak. Try as much as you can, and this is for my people who are listening. Try as much as you can to understand them, and you'll be really shocked, to the level of professionalism or the level of knowledge you're able to get trying to understand someone than trying to listen than trying to just reply. And another thing that we need to also tell ourselves is we need to also be very careful about how we overestimate our abilities to be, will I call it, to be moral per se, because a lot of people have this moral indignation. And I will just give this example so we can close. Now, just to speak on the two extreme ends of abortion. Now, the people pro-choice are saying, no, we need to fight for women to be able to do whatever they want to do with their bodies. Pro-life is saying, no, we need to protect the child. Now, that looks like two different people are trying to protect something. And now you're wondering, okay, so who do we protect? So pro-life said, no, the mother has to be protected. Pro-life said the child has to be protected. Now, that's just one topic. Now let's talk about gun. Let's talk about gun control. Now, someone is saying, no, people need to have guns in America, said they're able to protect themselves. And people are saying, no, we don't need guns because we have so many shooting incidents. Even we need guns so that we are able to protect ourselves from maniacs. Now, another person is saying, no, we don't need guns. Now, you're having this, these two different set of people are looking towards a more utopianistic, or not utopianistic, but more, they're looking for a better society per se, but they have different approaches. So I can't tell somebody who believes that he needs guns to protect himself, that what his thought on guns are absurd and ridiculous, and still believe that me who believes that guns are unnecessary, might have the superior argument. So the point of the reason there are so many discussions where two extreme ends are trying to achieve a particular goal, but the road is just the approaches or their procedures to achieving those goals are so far apart that
different.
Are so different. You get, so again, you hear people talk about socialism, and people are talking about capitalism. Now, someone who is a socialist believes that socialism is good for the country. A capitalist believes that capitalism is good for the country. So again, can I come out and say, oh, someone who has a socialist thinking is, I just throw him away and just tell him that, see, man, what you're...
Banish him for the rest of his life.
Again, it's wrong. It's wrong. So again, we need to be able to listen to people to really understand where they're coming from, to really know how deep down and to what extent is is the foundation of their conversation coming from. So, Louis, I'll just give you a minute to just have any last things you want to say, any points that you're not able to make during my question and answer, answers, so you can just hit it.
Okay. So, on this, we'll actually buttress on your points on different views. So, I think we're at a stage where everyone sees morality as being relative. So, it means what is wrong to you might be right to me. Yeah. And what happens is that, yes, we might actually have different perspectives, but we cannot actually meet in the middle and discuss and find a definitive middle ground to some of this argument, instead of purely sidelining people, because of their views. So I believe in humanity, and I believe that intellectual discourse is a way to move forward, not to shut people out. I also believe we're in the information age, so we actually need to harness the power of discussions, the power of intellectualism, rather than tearing people down like we're in the fascist era and the Stone Age. So,
Thank you very much, Louis. So, just to also wrap it up, please do not be scared of being cancelled. As long as what you're saying, as long as what you believe what you're saying is based upon logic, and what you're saying is based upon your belief system or morality, or don't be scared of being cancelled, because you have to be able to speak. And another thing is, when you figure out that a particular ideology you have is that fault in the ideology, or you're wrong, it's okay to turn a new leaf or be a changed person. So do not fall victim of the mob mentality. Speak. Yes, they may want to cancel you, but again, the truth is this: it didn't start today. This cancel culture didn't start today. And if you're going to always be scared of speaking out, you're going to end up being the victim. So speak. talk, have discussions as much as you can about any and several things. Be ready to listen and understand, and also do not ostracize people simply because they do not agree with you. So remember that this show, once again, is an agree to disagree talk show. And I also want to inform you guys that our website is coming out as soon as we can. We have articles we'll be publishing. And if you are interested in writing articles for A2D, just send us a mail at a2d.talkshow@outlook.com. We'll also be having our merch page where you can buy merchandise and all. And also, we are going to be having series of topics. From next week, we're going to be talking about morality, the absolute or the relative. We're going to be talking about gun control. We're going to be talking about climate change. We're going to be talking about plastic waste management. We're going to talk about so many things. And we'll talk about them on our talk show, or we'll talk about them through our article writing. So please do not forget to send us a mail if you have anyone that is interested in writing articles. And I hope you have a wonderful day and have a wonderful week. Louis, thank you very much for spending time with us on A2D. I hope you have a wonderful day and have a wonderful week ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, and you too. Okay, thank you. Yeah.